The idea that articles of clothing, even our socks, may symbolize something about our relationship with God or something about our mission in the world is not completely far-fetched. I got it from the Bible, actually. In his letter to the Romans, Paul advises, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. The letter to the Colossians says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In response to these scriptural encouragements, faithful people through the ages have prayed prayers like this one, written by Gertrude of Helfa, who lived in the second half of the 13th century. Ah, Jesus, Son of Justice, make me clothe myself with you so that I may be able to live according to your will. The Ephesians received instructions that many people have taken fairly literally. In chapter 6, verse 14 through 16, it says, fasten the belt of truth around your waist, put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith. The breastplate of St. Patrick was famously inscribed with the prayer, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. My thought today is, if a belt and breastplate and shoes and shield can help us walk in the way of Christ, why not socks? Now, maybe you think socks were not an article of clothing known in antiquity. But in fact, this photo shows a reproduction of a hand-knit sock as would have been used by the ancient Egyptians, who wore wool socks like these in order to keep the sand out from between their toes. Now, if you don't believe me, you can look it up. According to sock historians, the ancient Greeks improved upon Egyptian construction using animal skins. We have hard evidence that the Romans in Jesus' own time, wore socks, as this next photo will clearly show. Mike, would you please advance the slide? Socks were especially important to keep those feet warm and to keep the vocal cords functioning properly. So although neither John the Baptist nor Jesus ever actually said anything about socks, we cannot assume that they were not wearing socks. I like to imagine, actually, that the disciples frequently gave socks to each other as a gift. This possibility occurred to me when I read about mountain climber Greg Mortensen in the book Three Cups of Tea. Back when Greg wanted to build a school for his friends in a remote village in Pakistan, but didn't have any idea of how to go about it, he was invited by a fellow mountaineer to the annual fundraising dinner of the American Himalayan Association. The event was held in the Venetian Ballroom at the Fairmont Hotel in the Bay Area. It was a very formal affair. The expected attire for men was jackets and ties, unless you were a Tibetan Buddhist monk, in which case you wore your cinnamon-colored robes. Greg wore the best clothes that he owned, khaki pants, a brown wool sport coat that he had inherited from his father, and beat-up leather boat shoes over bare feet. The idea was for Greg to meet people, maybe talk with them about his dream to build a school, perhaps gain some interest and support. He was not an official speaker. He was just one of the guests. Almost the first thing that happened to Greg upon arrival was getting introduced to someone who offered right then and there to give him $20,000 for his project. This was a miracle of such monumental proportions that Greg remembers almost nothing about the meal which then took place, except that a dapper photojournalist seated at his table was so appalled by Greg's bare ankles at such an elegant banquet that he rushed out to the hotel gift shop and purchased a pair of socks for Greg to wear. thanks to the generous donation of funds and to the thoughtful acquisition and contribution of socks, Greg began to realize that he was among friends. He began to sense a real hope that he would one day be able to make good on his promise to build a school for children across the world. He was, on that night, in his new socks, taking several important steps along the path. So it's not too great an indulgence, is it, to think that disciples might have looked out for each other and tried to encourage each other in a similar way? That if any of them could have provided something that another one of them needed, they would have done so? Could we not speculate, for example, that when Andrew began to follow Jesus, he might have shared with the other fishermen the secret of a sock he had started wearing when he was hanging out with John the Baptist? Luke, he might have said, anybody who's in and out of the water as much as you are needs a pair of these. They have hard soles on the bottom, but fabric on the top that is so light it dries almost instantaneously. Maybe when Matthew the tax collector was called by Jesus to join the group, the other disciples pulled him aside and said, hey man, those dress socks are not going to do you any good now. We are always on the road. We walk a lot. You need a pair of these travel socks. They're thicker. You won't get blisters on your feet. And they have antimicrobial fibers that help eliminate odor. Maybe when the men saw how Martha rushed around her house preparing food for Jesus, they decided to give her a pair of non-skid slipper socks. We don't want you to fall down and hurt yourself, would have been the sentiment. Perhaps Mary, who showed such concern for washing and perfuming Jesus' feet, extended similar thoughtful care to her sister disciples, Joanna, Salome, Susanna, and the other Marys, by presenting them with these rose-scented socks. Maybe his buddies could not resist teasing Simon the Zealot just a little bit by buying him a pair of Che Guevara socks that they found at a roadside stand. Simon's passion for revolution was well known, and the other guys might have sensed his occasional confusion and frustration. Maybe all the disciples celebrated Lazarus' return to life by offering him a pair of socks designed for chronic tired legs. The words on the package would have made these socks seem like just the thing. Like first aid, you will be amazed at how much better your feet and legs feel instantly. You may want to dance. Maybe James and John, when they argued about who was the greatest, maybe the other disciples helped them regain their perspective by giving them socks covered with little stars. Maybe when Thomas took Jesus' words to heart and he decided to head out for parts unknown, which turned out to be Persia, Parthia, and India, in order to share the gospel, maybe the group, as a departure gift, gave him a pair of trekker socks. These socks have an elastic ankle band for added support. They have fully cushioned leg panels for protection and a wool insulator in the heel, in the toe, and in the arch for constant warmth. Then again, perhaps all of these speculations are wrong, and the disciples wore socks that they created themselves. Maybe they liked to keep busy with knitting needles during those long evenings gathered around the fire. The point of all these imaginings, of course, is not that any of the disciples might actually have owned a pair of SpongeBob SquarePants socks, but that the disciples, the friends and followers of Jesus, were people just like us. They had unique personalities, quirks of behavior, likes and dislikes, fears and senses of humor. They were not cookie-cutter clones. Each one brought different gifts, different perspectives, different talents and understandings. They were not superhuman. Each struggled with different kinds of doubts and different weaknesses. It was to these deeply human beings that Jesus appeared in the locked house and said, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Ordinary people were sent out into the world to carry on Jesus' ministry. Ordinary people were commissioned to do the work of God. Because God was with them and God helped them, they succeeded. And here we are, centuries later, recipients of the grace of God, aware of what Jesus said and did because of the faithful and effective ministry carried out by those first disciples and by subsequent generations of disciples. Now it is our turn. Just like they did long ago, we gather in a designated meeting space, a special house of God, to encourage one another, support one another, to talk and pray. We are met here by Jesus. We are extended God's peace. We are infused with God's Spirit. We are given the task of going out into the world as Christ did to present God's love and justice and peace and mercy. It's not our socks per se that make our ministry possible. It's the attitude and the spirit with which we put on and wear our socks. If we cushion and protect and adorn our feet with the prayer that God will use us and guide us, then our socks become one more tool, one more reminder to help us walk the path of our life with Jesus and to invite Jesus to walk with us. Gracious God, you are over all and in all and through all. We want to be those who announce peace and proclaim news of happiness. We want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and help bring healing and hope to a hurting world. We can only go where you send us, Lord. We can only do what you give us the power to do. We are so thankful that you are willing to walk with us so that we don't have to be alone or afraid. We pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.